What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's a Thursday throwdown, and there's a lot of stuff to throw down on the program. Countdown to kickoff is on. And, of course, we've got the Super Bowl around the corner, but we've got the Senior Bowl this weekend as well. We had the East-West Shrine Bowl earlier in the week. We've got CFL signings going on, so football never sleeps. And you know that there's going to be a couple of bombshells coming in the National Basketball Association over the next couple of days or so, as the trade deadline is around the corner. Giannis is on the market and everybody's talking about him, but you know there's going to be a bunch of other deals as well. LeBron James broke down in tears last night in Cleveland. The Cavaliers, you know, had a video tribute for LeBron last night, and some people are speculating whether it's his last game in Cleveland. And we've said this before about LeBron, and I'm not saying this in a critical way of, oh yeah, he needs the attention and stuff. But the fact of the matter is, LeBron James and his personality and the career that he's had, to be honest with you. So I think LeBron's not going to suddenly retire without telling people. That's not his style. You know what I mean? Look, the guy had a freaking show, like the decision to decide where he was going as a free agent once. LeBron's going to want like the retirement tour, like just point blank. He's the, you know what I mean? Some guys don't like it. Some guys, you know, nah, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to get emotional every night. Like, I don't want to get honored in every city. But, and I'm a Jordan guy in the whole Jordan LeBron stuff, but I think that stuff is like way overblown and stupid. It sounds crazy to say, but I don't know why you all trying to rush LeBron out right now. Like, LeBron's still balling. The guy can still play, and people are like, oh, this could be his last this, his last that. Why? Because he didn't make the All-Star team as a starter? Wow, there's a lot of big stars in the NBA now that, you know what I mean, that are like new names. People want fresh blood, but it doesn't mean that LeBron still can't play. Does he play defense much? No, right? But listen, man, I'm old enough to know, and I'll tell you what, if Michael Jordan was dropping 24 points like at 41 right now, people would be praising him. Yet LeBron's done it so much. He's like a band. Like, he's like somebody that like you take for granted because he's been so good for so long that you almost are tired of it now. You're like, well, I want to see someone else. Okay, fine. But like I said, I think about this with LeBron. It's like he can call his shot, man. The guy is still balling and stuff. And so I don't think that it's his last time or anything like that. And I say this like full, you know, next year, I'm going to make a point of going to see LeBron play, because I think next year could be it. Remember before, people were like, oh, he wants to play with his son. Yeah, he did that. He's done it. He's not going to retire like when he can still play like as good as he's playing right now. But he also isn't going to be one of these dudes that's going to stick around and not be good. He doesn't need it, right? And he's the type of guy, he cares about his stats, his legacy. He's pretty much shattered every record. Can he win another title is the question. Like, one more on the way out? I don't think so. Not with the Lakers, but I don't think he's going to be a Laker next year. So that's where I'm going with this. I think LeBron's retirement tour will come next year, and I think he's probably going to be on the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Golden State Warriors or something. I think, as crazy as it sounds, and you figure, wow, if you're the Lakers, just nah, bite the bullet. And let him retire as a Laker here. The thing is, though, what if the dude wants to play forever, right? Like, what if he keeps on playing? And I'm telling you guys, I don't want to sound contradictory. Yeah, he still plays well, but the thing is, the Lakers got to move on, right? Like, the Lakers are kind of like, put it this way. If you're the Lakers, would you rather have LeBron or Giannis right now? You could go out and get a Giannis if LeBron wasn't making a gazillion dollars, right, on your team. And you know he's going to be gone next year, or he's going to be like, all those stories about Jeannie Buss and the Lakers and all that stuff, that's all true. Like, the Lakers and LeBron and the relationship isn't great. And the Dodgers have just taken over. And you see how the Dodgers operate. They're about winning. They're about getting, like, the new superstar. You know the Dodgers, like, want to get Giannis. And I think LeBron, as long as it's not framed that he's the one leaving, he'll do it. He'll be happy to leave. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron doesn't want to be seen by Laker fans. It's, oh, yeah, I don't want to retire here. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to go to Cleveland. He can use this whole Jeannie Buss was mean to me, and behind the scenes there's friction and all that type of stuff. But all this to say that I want to see LeBron play another time in person. And Isaiah Thomas, just for the record, Isaiah Thomas despises Michael Jordan, right? I mean, they have their moments. I think the best way to describe Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas is like Megadeth and Metallica. Michael Jordan is Metallica. Isaiah Thomas is Megadeth, but you know, it's not really fully fair to Isaiah. But we all know, like, they, you know what I mean? Like, Jordan kept Isaiah off the Olympic team. They didn't like each other. Isaiah beat Jordan a bunch of times. Like, Isaiah is like the only one that could kind of say, I beat you and you know it, and you were better than me, right? And it bothers Jordan. So the other day, Isaiah Thomas went on a show and he basically said, I don't understand what's wrong with all you people. And he goes, LeBron is way better than Jordan. he holds every record. He goes, Michael Jordan had a nice shoe deal. And he goes, you're all scared of him because he's a mean guy in real life. And he goes, LeBron's nice. So it's just funny. It's like Isaiah Thomas, like the one guy that actually has credibility too, that can talk smack about Jordan. But it kind of hit me too. And I'm like, you know, he's kind of right. Like LeBron's been on top of the league for like freaking 22 years now or whatever. Like, all you need to know, we'll bring Cam in a second here. All you need to know about LeBron is the dude, and think about it, he's still balling. He's been around so long, LeBron. Last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers wore throwback jerseys, all right? They wore like an old classic Cavalier jersey. It's the jersey that LeBron James debuted. Like, they're wearing a classic jersey that LeBron James used to wear for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's wild. Like, that's when you know you're an OG and you're a baller, so... It sounds crazy because I've been LeBron's biggest critic. I actually legitimately hated the guy. I nearly got kicked out of numerous games yelling at him and yelling at referees. I had like nervous breakdowns because of this guy beating the Raptors every year. And here I am now saying, yeah, you know what? Give him some love. He's one of the greatest of all time. Let's bring Cam Stewart in. But it's true. You've got to give him his due, right? Like, if we're going to like talk about how great Jordan was all the time and this and that and stuff, that we've got to tip our cap to LeBron. I'll just say, though, the problem was never really LeBron. It's like the Sloan song says. It's not the band I hate. It's their fans.
Well put.
And it's like, it's very similar with LeBron. I never really have a beef with LeBron. He's vain and he cares about these records and stuff. But it's the LeBron nut huggers that are always better than Jordan. He's better than Jordan. No, he's not. But we can just acknowledge that he's awesome and he's the best player of the generation. No one's going to dispute that. He's the best player of his era. LeBron James, best player of his era. Michael Jordan is best player of his era. Right? And you, all these idiots, too, with all your little dumb comparison between the two. You know what? There's a lot of other guys that are pretty good basketball players that none of you talk about. you could say, you know what? Are the greatest ever. Magic Johnson was like, you know, Magic and LeBron are the same effing thing. Except Magic had more of a clutch gene in him than LeBron does. Like, to me, Magic Johnson was the greatest player I saw. I know Jordan, yeah, but like all around, I'll go with Magic. And, you know, we get in, you know, the old guys, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Jerry West. Who the hell are we to say that they're not? Like, right? So this whole, like, somehow that the modern people have isolated it to two is garbage. It's not just the NBA existed before Michael Jordan did too. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were great players. And I was just talking this morning online about a great player that doesn't get any love really in the big picture is David Robinson, the Admiral. And I saw, like, I don't know if it's the anniversary or whatever, but he dropped 71 points in a game once against the Clippers. And I get it. Kobe's dead. So it changes your legacy a bit. But think about how we still hear so much about Kobe scoring 81 points in a game. Do you ever hear about David Robinson scoring 71? No, it's like it was like 21 to other people or something. Like, David Robinson did some stupid, crazy stuff in the NBA, man. Like, he changed the Spurs. Like, he's changed the Spurs organization before Tim Duncan. People give credit to Duncan. Like, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, another one.
Great call.
Or the other day, Robert Horry played with Tim Duncan. Think about Robert Horry, the guy got like what, 8-time champion or whatever, like insane, right? Like Big Shot Bob, he was only on good teams. So he was on the Rockets teams that won 2 titles. He was on the Lakers teams that won titles, and he was on the Spurs team that won all those titles. I saw him on a show the other day, a podcast, and those NBA guys do some great podcasts because they talk really openly and honestly. And Robert Horry said, listen, man, and Horry's not a hot take guy type of guy. Like, he was just being honest. They asked him, they said, who do you think the best big man is? And he said, well, I can tell you, I played with some pretty good ones. And he started laughing, and they all were like, yeah, he kind of did, huh? And he goes, yeah, I played with Shaq, Tim Duncan, and Hakeem Olajuwon. And he goes, by the way, I won with all of them too. And he won rings with all of them. And he said that Hakeem Olajuwon was the best player that he ever played with. That was Robert Horry.
That's awesome.
He said, no, he goes, no disrespect to these other guys. He goes, they're all awesome, obviously, man. But he goes, Hakeem Olajuwon was just one of those guys that you were like, wow. Like, when you played with him, he was like, you didn't really realize it till you, like, you were with him and you saw like how he put the fear of God into other teams and how he was good defensively and stuff. Ori was just saying that he was the same every night camp. They were like, Hakeem was like, he never took a night off. He was the same all the time, and he was just great at both ends. And then Ori said, I thought it was interesting, and he also said he was also the best guy I ever played with. He said, like, the nicest guy. He said the best person. That was what he said. He goes, and you know what? I think he was the best person I ever played with. He goes, the guy was legitimately just a good guy. And, like, no one really talks about Hakeem Olajuwon, but it's the same with David Robinson. You know why? Because they're not jackasses, Cam. They're not on TV. Like, Charles Barkley gets more love than they do. Barkley didn't do anything that they did. Barkley was a great player, right? But Barkley talks all the time, right? You run your miller, you talk. David Robinson is, like, in like, witness protection. The guy, like, is never in public. He doesn't talk very much. He's a shy guy. Doesn't want attention. Same thing with Hakeem Olajuwon. I don't know. Where's Hakeem Olajuwon now? I don't know.
No clue. He never does TV.
Where he lives, what he does, I have no idea. Hakeem Olajuwon right now is probably riding a horse somewhere or something. Like,
that's,
I don't
a great call. Him and Carl Malone.
He's not sitting there like, I don't, you know what I mean? Came here. I don't view him as a guy sitting there like having a drink by a pool. I'm like, nah, he's probably like horseback riding or mountain climbing or something right now. Like, you know?
Him and Carl Malone got like a horse crossing. Like, they do like horse tours.
Well, no, Malone's his own other story. He's another weird. He's his own guy.
He sure is. And I'll say great things about Hakeem Olajuwon. I think the best thing you say is, you know what, Gabe? Same expression all the time. And what is really important about Hakeem Olajuwon, we grew up with him. Like, his defense was impeccable. You mentioned it. Like, he was great scorer, but he played his ass off all the time. And another thing that you said, which I totally agree, consistency. Some of these guys have great games, bad games. They go in a little bit of a slump. Like, Hakeem's one of those guys that always brings it. Another guy we can mention, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, talk about like one of the greats of all time. It's just the thing. And I'm with you. Like, I'm not a huge LeBron fan. What he's done, you know, to the Raptors, you've been to a hell of a lot of those games. But longevity and consistency, the guy's scoring 22 points a year, Gabe. He's been in the league forever. So sometimes people deserve their kudos. But the media, a lot of the time, make these guys out worse because all we do is hear about LeBron. It's not his fault. He's not doing the shows. He's just playing basketball.
People build him up. Well, he's brought a lot around himself, but you know, the media build you up and then they want to tear you down. He's just, it's like, and there, it's like people, he's overextended his stay somehow. where it's like, all right, you know, when are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? Is he going to retire? It's like, dude, like, he'll retire when he wants to retire. Like, and as I stated, yeah, anyone that knows LeBron, we all know he's an egomaniac, and that he's going to want the retirement tour. He's going to want to go back to each city one last time. He broke down in Cleveland because I think, it, you know, I'm just projecting, but in my mind, I think LeBron was thinking last night, next time this is going to be for real. I think that's what I got from that last night. Like, if he was nowhere near retirement, he doesn't break down in tears last night. He doesn't break down just because they show a video tribute for him. He's LeBron James. He's seen enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not that sentimental, right? So he legit broke down last night. So he's looking up. So people are like, oh, he must be retired. No, I think he looked up and he saw that and he's thinking, next time that this happens, it's going to be for real. Like, I think he just sort of realized, yeah, it is getting real. Because he's talking about his business ventures, too. And I believe him. Like, I think LeBron's going to be super successful. And, like, guys, like, he's not going away. I mean, like, I talked about Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson set the barometer for all these guys. Like, Magic Johnson was the first NBA businessman after his career. I'm not going to say, like, no one ever did anything. But, like, he was the first one. Like, black-owned businesses and stuff. Like, guys didn't do that before. People didn't invest their money. Like, you know what I mean? Magic Johnson, like, when he got his money, man, one of the first things he did when he got money, real money, Magic, he bought a Pepsi factory, a plant. He became a Pepsi owner in Michigan. Like, so a guy, like, he, like, you know what I mean? Like, who does that? Like, he did the vision of that. You know, I'm going to buy a Pepsi plant. You know what I mean? And then, like, you know, I'm going to open up, like, some movie theaters, and, you know, a movie theater chain or whatever. Like, he sort of had a vision cam, a business, like, and you know what I mean? And look, man, the guy owns the LA Dodgers now, Cam.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Like, he went.
No, he's done everything he does.
He's not the main owner, but you know what I mean. The guy owns everything. He owns, like, TGL teams and golf, and, like, you know what I mean. He's everywhere, Magic.
LeBron's business too, Gabe.
Magic's got his beak in everything. You know?
Sure does, and his beak is very successful.
He's like Tiger Woods type.
Yes,
like he's a conglomerate on his own. You know,
that's a great call. Yeah,
and that's what LeBron wants to do.
Oh, for sure. He's already dipped in. He's got a Blaze Pizza in Toronto. He's got a million other businesses. And I have a feeling when he's done, he's going to get into very different things, too. I know he's in the food business, but I would not be shocked if kind of, as you say, wet his beak into a lot of different types of corporations. So, yeah, great call. But I didn't even know that Magic Johnson owned a Pepsi factory.
Yeah, awesome. That was his first business. That was his first big choice.
Yeah, I want Pepsi. That's the best. Pepsi factory.
I saw it was a cool picture. It was funny. There was a kid on what team? Georgia Tech. I believe that. Yeah, it was Georgia Tech. It was Georgia Tech. It was an offensive lineman on Georgia Tech. And it's like a kid with a mullet, sort of looks like a classic sort of redneck offensive lineman type of kid. And he got like $150,000 or $100,000 to play. And he posted a picture, Cam, and he said, took my $100K from the NIL and bought my own laundromat. That's pretty cool.
That's smart, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
he was outside like the laundromat, and there was all these people in the neighborhood. And he said, I grew up in a poor area with no laundromat. And he goes, I know how important this is to the community. And he goes, I'm going to build a business for myself. I want to build a chain of laundromats, and I want to help the community by putting laundromats in poor areas.
That's amazing.
People are like, what a great story. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Carson Beck goes and buys a Lamborghini.
That's true.
And Carson Beck's going to make money in the NFL after whatever. But like,
Gabe, know the best is?
But this kid was smart, though, because it's one of those turnkey businesses, right? You buy the laundromat, you don't got to do anything. The coins just rack up like a slot machine.
I know a guy, Gabe, he bought part of an OHL team. He's like, Cam, I lost all my money there. Then I bought an indoor soccer team. I lost all my money. I go, what? You're still a millionaire. He goes, I own a lot of laundromats. That was his answer. He goes, it's the gift that keeps on giving. He goes, I never lose money with my laundromats. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going to put that one in my craw for later on. That's the guy who's a good businessman. Laundromats make a killing.
Yeah, you would figure in today's day and age that, you know, apartment buildings all have their own washing and dryers in the basement or whatnot, and condos and all that, but not everybody does. It's true. Like, I passed the laundromat the other day, and I was surprised. I was like, man, there's like 8 or 10 people in there just on a Wednesday afternoon.
The one in my mall, there's 20 people in there. A lot of the time, they're doing, like, laundry for a lot of different people, and that's the thing, right? Like, I walk by it, and it's packed. they got big bins and they're coming in and out of the thing. And I'm like, whoa, man, because it's kind of a lower income area. And you're right. Some of these apartment buildings don't have it. I was just thinking, man, whoever owns this laundromat's just making a killing right now.
The other one used to just sort of be like concession machines, like a Coke machine or like chocolate bars in a machine and stuff like that.
Yes.
Same thing, right? You pay, you buy the machine, you've cut a deal with someone to let you put it wherever it is, and then boom, it just sits there and makes money for you. The thing is, though, nowadays in the modern era, like a good example at my SkyTrain in Vancouver, there is a concession, but it's for bubble tea. And or there's like Orange Julius and stuff. Like, people are healthier now. Like, people don't want to buy a Snickers out of a machine anymore. You're people right. want to buy like a smoothie or a protein shake. And like, it's like the and now, like, I literally see them. They come with the fresh oranges to the subway station. Like, they're putting them in this machine. And like, people are like ordering orange juice out of a machine.
That's the best.
I'm like, God, the future is here. I'm like, yeah, they don't want Skittles. Like, they ain't yeah, buy, they don't eat that stuff. You know,
can I get a hot rod? Yeah, no, it's, those don't. I've noticed too, Gabe, you're right. The concession machines, I look at them like, there's not a lot of fun in there anymore.
Nah, they all look old. Like, no one, like, you know, the last time I used one was actually in New Orleans at the Super Bowl last year. I'm thinking
that's
about
awesome.
It. And same thing. People were looking at me like I was crazy. Like, you're eating out of that thing. I remember I was like eating a bag of chips out of this machine.
Yeah. That's funny.
Man, yeah. I dropped a lot of money in that machine in New Orleans. Oh God, I can't imagine. I just clicked there. I really should do like a CVS store run or something. Can you imagine San Francisco? It's going to be like $12 for a Coca-Cola.
Oh, you're right. All like those guys.
San Francisco, yeah. I'm in, oh, dude, man. I'm like right in the businessman district too, Cam.
It's rich.
I'm in like the, like I said, I'm in like the near the financial district. I saw, like, I'm like, oh, nice hotel.
Mr. Morenzi, your pizza is like, $47 US.
Breakfast
here
in this hotel is going to be $82.
Exactly, 82. Yeah. Remember the last time we went, I forget, even in Vegas, we were sitting there when we were doing our first show, when you and I went there and whatever. I remember I had breakfast at that place. It was like $38 US. I'm like, I had bacon, eggs, like, and some hash browns. And that was years ago. That was, what Super Bowl was that? Like, that was the first time we went down there. So, yeah, San Francisco is expensive.
My first day there, I'm going to, I've been to San Francisco before, but I haven't been to this area before. Like, I noticed, like, I sort of look at the map because I know San Fran a bit, but I'm not an expert on it, but I have been there. And last time I was there, I was in the more touristy area. I was like on the waterfront, like Fisherman's Wharf, basically like right in front of Alcatraz and
cool.
All that type. Yeah, where are you? Well, on TV. Anytime you see a TV show, it's sort of on Fisherman's Wharf there in that area. Like the baseball stadium's down there on the water, the basketball stadium. But the convention center is like, boom, like downtown, whatever, like skyscraper San Francisco. Like, I'm not near the water or anything like that. So
have you been to that baseball stadium there? Like, my buddy does like stadium tours, says one of its favorites of all time.
Yes and no. I've been outside of it, but I've never been to a game there.
I'd like to go to a game there.
But I've seen it. It is super cool. Like, even like, yeah, like, you can really see it from outside too well, like, type thing. It's right, like, it's like I said, it's hard to describe. It's very, very cool. It's like you're on a street. It's almost like, it's like, think like Front Street. It's sort of like imagine like Lake Ontario, but like, the stadium's on Lake on like the back of the stadium's on the water, but the front of the stadium, it almost, you wouldn't tell it's a stadium. Like, it's one of those, like, they have this sort of brick wall and it's really cool. They got like statues of Willie McCovey or what, all the greats and stuff like that outside and stuff. And like,
it's awesome.
Yeah. And then you got that big baseball glove and you got the water in the back.
Exactly. Like, it's so cool. Like, what stadium has water? Like, they have a couple stadiums with tanks and fish in them. Big deal. That one's got real water with guys in boats and nets. Like, that stadium looks wicked.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably the coolest stadium in baseball. As far as, like, the modern ones. I'll always like Dodger Stadium the best. But, like, for the new gimmick sort of things, like, you know, they got the water and the home run and the big baseball glove and all that. But for just pure tradition, I'll take Dodger Stadium over any stadium. I know Fenway Park, you know, Boston fans would probably disagree. I want to get to this story, actually, too. Boxer Gervonta Davis arrested in Miami after a two-week search. I don't know. How does it take 2 weeks to find this guy? The guy's covered in tattoos. Like, his face is covered. Like, you know what I mean? It's not, like, hard to find. So whatever. I guess he just didn't turn himself in or whatever. But it was former three-way champion Gervonta Davis was apprehended in Miami on Wednesday, 2 weeks after an arrest warrant was issued on battery, false imprisonment, and attempted kidnapping. According to the police report, Marshall's Fugitive Task Force conducted a three-county surveillance operation, taking him into custody without incidents in the Miami Designer District. So, whatever. You know, why am I bringing up Gervonta Davis gets arrested again? But this is kind of more serious this time. A lot of times he gets arrested and he gets out right away and stuff. But this goes back to, if you guys remember the story from many years ago, and Orville, Aaron Bronstetter was there in person with me, I think, at the time. Or you know what? It might have been T-Bone. It was T-Bone. I think Orville might have been there, and I think T-Bone was there as well. But it was like, I used to have Floyd Mayweather on the show. It was like a great get. Like, it was a great get. I don't know, like, we got him on one somehow, and he liked me, and, like, it was like, and it was Floyd Mayweather in his freaking prime, right? I remember I had a clip when, like, he cut it, and he didn't do it, like, we didn't tell him to do it. It was during the interview, and, like, he started hyping, and he goes, I'm Floyd Mayweather, the greatest of all time, speaking with Morenci, Gabe, the greatest host of all time. And I was like, oh, you got to clip that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a promo.
So, yeah, we had this clip and stuff. So Mayweather used to come on. And so we told him, I'm coming to Vegas. I'm going to be doing the show at Mandalay Bay. And Floyd Mayweather says, I'll come down in person, which was just like massive, like you know, biggest boxer in the world type thing. He goes, I'll come down in person and I'll do it. And I was like, wow, this is like massive. And day of, Floyd Mayweather cancels. And I'm like, you know?
Yep.
But to show his seriousness, he goes, I feel terrible about canceling, so I'm going to send my my father down instead. So his freaking father, the trainer, comes. Like, his father's crazier than the son is, right? So, like, so the father walks in, and the dude's, like, decked out. Like, the father's decked out, like, chains, watches, and, like, just over the top, man. And I remember I asked him, I said, man, you got a lot of bling on. And he goes, yeah, I got about $7 million worth of jewelry on me right now or something like that. He started showing me his watch. I remember kidding. I said, can I have your watch? And he said, no.
Like, can't get anything.
He had like something. This diamond encrusted, like this crazy, stupid, like whatever. Like it was just over the top type of stuff. But he had security with him. And he goes, yeah, I can with this type of bling, you got people around you. So he had like a couple of gangbanger type security guys with him. And he goes, I want to introduce you to our new protege. He goes, this kid's going to be a phenom. He goes, this is the next Floyd. He's going to be the next world champion and dominate boxing. And he introduced me, Cam. It was like a 14-year-old Gervonta Davis.
Wow.
And I was this kid, I remember, and like the kid looked kind of crazy already too. Like, I was like, oh yeah, like if this kid wasn't
people
boxing,
you met, John be, Jones, Davis, yeah. Like some pretty interesting guys.
It's pretty
like,
wild. That's why I tell this story now. Yeah. Like, yeah, like so it's funny now. You see a former 3-time champion, Gervonta Davis. So it's crazy though, Cam. It's sad to say, like he literally followed in Floyd's footsteps, point blank. Mm-hmm. Like he follows in the footsteps. Floyd Mayweather went to jail for assault of a woman. And now, like, dude, you're three. Like, why? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy to see, like, I'm going to say he's ruined his life because whatever. He's made all the money and stuff. But, like,
making it very difficult.
And he's going to get out of jail and he'll have his money and all this. But, yeah, I'm like, really, bro? Is this the life you want? Like, you're, you know what I mean? You're one of the greatest boxers of all time. But, like, you're in the news all the time because you're wanted by police. Right? Like, he's, this happens all the time with him, Cam. Every few years, like, there's always, like, oh, yeah, this or, like, he, you know. I you know, it's just crazy to me, like I said, how I thought about it the other day. And I was like, man, I met this guy, a kid, when he was a teenager. And he was with the Mayweather clan. And here he is now, just like doing the exact same things. Like the exact same, like it's amazing how history repeated itself. From what I understand, the Mayweathers tried to get to him and tell him he needs to chill. Mm-hmm. But he's past that point and whatever. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to do what he's going to do. And now it sounds like he might be a, because it's going to start to add up. Like you can get away with these things a couple of times, but you know, one eventually you're going to get the wrong judge, man. And she ain't going to care and stuff like that. You got money, like get the right judge, right? You can get off. But especially fighters too, they actually get like hit more because they're more dangerous. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're on top
more
of
a menace to society.
Well, no, but it's dangerous. Like on top of it, you know that you could hurt someone more by hitting someone, but you still did it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That like the War Machine guy got that. Like the judge went off, which people didn't think was fair. She said, I'm gonna punish you more because you're a mixed martial artist, because I deem your hands to be a danger, like a weapon. And people were like, well, there's a construction shirt, you know what I mean? Well, you know, that was kind of like, you shouldn't, assault is assault, but nevertheless, I just wanted to bring that up. Yeah, John Jones, another one. I met John Jones before he was tainted. And same thing. I've seen John Jones's sort of rise and fall, and we'll see if he rises again, whatever, with John Jones and where that goes with his career. All right. So countdown to the Super Bowl is on. We keep looking for little nuggets and trends. Cam, what do you have? What are you looking at now?
I already, for betting purposes, I told you about my Helani bet, and I think it's been bet up. You know, Gabe, I'm starting to think, you know, a lot of people like the under in this game, and I'm starting to think that coming around to your opinion, that total is just too low. I'm going to find ways to, you know, put Seattle. It's a horrible number to tease, though, because you only on the 4.5, you get 2.5, right? I'm hoping 4 so I can at least get a field goal. Already working on a couple of games that we hit with Seattle money line with Charlotte. The Raptors didn't work out last night, but I'm literally slowly but surely putting things together with, you know, games in the NHL, NBA, looking for some stuff to make plus money parlays. And I'm going to put some golf stuff together with them too. But that's my favorite prop. And I also think I found a Sam Darnold 6.5 rushing yards, Gabe. I think he goes over that. I know he broke that number last week, but I think it's the final game in the Super Bowl. The Patriots bring a lot of pressure. So those are things that I'm looking at. I've already bet those two props. And I kind of agree with you with tight ends. I think Hunter Henry is a guy that I'm really going to target for the New England Patriots. I think that's the way to attack Seattle, is through the tight end position.
Hunter Henry was an extremely popular pick last week against the Denver Broncos, and it fell short because of the weather, right? The game was just sort of a blizzard, snow fest, and so he didn't really do anything. So I think, you know, some people will sort of go away from it a little bit. A prop I've come up with here, and listen, Super Bowl props are the sharpest, right? I mean, it's the Super Bowl, so the sports books are going to juice things. They're not giving money away for this, but
forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
One thing I'll suggest, if you have the bankroll to do, and not everybody does, and I get it, but you sort of try to put in a prop a day type of thing leading into the Super Bowl, because Super Bowl Sunday will come and maybe your bankroll is going to get beat down. Maybe you're going to lose games on Saturday night. And then suddenly it'll be like, oh, I liked that, man, last week when it was 2.5, but damn, it's 3.5 now. Or, oh, that prop changed from 50 to 60 yards. I'm like, they will change. People haven't really started betting. Like, the only people that have bet this stuff are the pros. Johnny Sixpack and Susie Housecoat haven't pulled the trigger on this stuff yet. So they're going to, though, starting next week. That's when the numbers. So you sort of just put the play in, you sort of move on, you forget about it, and you stockpile your portfolio. So one I'm going to look at here is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp in the Cooper Kupp back in the Super Bowl here on the revenge tour. And interesting, I'm sure Cooper Kupp would have preferred if his wife didn't say anything, because Cooper Kupp did not. Cooper Kupp's been very classy, but his wife, like, basically said how the Rams, like, didn't even, like, how poorly they treated him on the way out, and McVay, and, like, is not the nice guy that people think he is. And it's funny, too, because McVay, Jared Goff didn't talk to McVay for years. And McVay admitted after, I did not handle that properly after. And it's funny. It seems like there's a little pattern here at the end that McVay's a cool dude when he's your coach, but when he's done with you, he's done with you, and he doesn't talk to you even. Right? Like, that basically Cooper Kupp just basically said after all those years, like, I think he got a text message from them, and they wanted him to retire. They basically told him they thought he was done. Right? So his wife went off. So anyways, Cooper Kupp got the little revenge last week. He didn't say anything, but his wife went off and, you know, dropped all the dirty laundry.
These guys got to tell their wives not to talk, like Sam Bradford's wife and whatever like that. It's like,
yeah,
you're a
at least until
just
after
please.
The year's over,
yeah,
and stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's just, yeah, but they do. The modern wives do. They all have podcasts, yeah, and stuff.
Crazy.
So my point is, though, where I'm going with this is JSN is a menace, right? Jackson Smith and Jigba is a stud. He led the league with 1,793 receiving yards this year in the NFC title game. He had 153 yards and a touchdown, 10 catches on 12 targets. We know that, you know, that he is the offense. You know, when they throw the football, they're throwing a JSN. But we also know that Mike Vrabel and that Patriot defense, one thing that the Patriots do, Belichick used to do it, whatever, same thing now. They're going to take away your best weapon. That's the, I mean, you just know it. Like, Vrabel is not. Like, the Patriots, every day, you know, they are saying, we are not letting JSN catch 10 balls. And he is not going off on us. We will make Sam Darnold throw, and we will make those other guys, make Rashid Shaheed beat us. Make A.J. Barner beat us. Make somebody else beat us. That's what they're going to be, their plan is. And I don't think, you know, can you stop JSN? Probably not, right? You know what I mean? You can contain him. But I talked about this earlier, guys, as far as the Patriots secondary is concerned. Christian Gonzalez is a stud. And he's not even their most highly ranked corner, according to Pro Football Focus this year. Carlton Davis is. So they've got three cornerbacks in the top 25. Carlton Davis, Marcus Jones, and Christian Gonzalez. All right. No other receiver on Seattle had more than 600 yards this year. All right. So they're going to point blank just like, all right, we're going to take JSN out of this. We're going to jam JSN up. So for me, Cooper Kupp becomes a play here. Cooper Kupp is reliable. Sam Darnold likes him. JSN is going to get terrorized by, like, different looks and, like, JSN. They're going to get the ball at JSN, but it's going to be more of a challenge this time because the Patriots are going to be hell-bent on slowing him down. So they're going to have to move JSN around, put him in a slot, put him on the edge, put him here. Like, they're going to have to start moving JSN around everywhere, and he'll still get his. But there's going to be a lot of times, in my opinion, where – JSN's not going to be open, and or Kubiak is not a dummy. He's just going to say, fine, double team JSN, and we're going to pick you apart all day, man. Just these quick hits to Cooper Kupp. Boom, 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 boom. Cooper Kupp's reception prop is 2.5 right now. All right? 2.5. Cooper Kupp is going to finish with like 4 or 5 catches in the Super Bowl. And in fact, I got a weird feeling like he might get a touchdown. I get to sort of see like an old school Cooper Kupp sighting here. He's going to make a big catch or two in this game. Like where, oh my God, first down, Cooper Kupp comes up with the grab on the sideline. Like it's 2.5. I'm going over the 2.5. It is -155, which tells me they're going to move it to 3.5 eventually. Like it's 255 now. It's going to swing. If people, you know, if people start betting it, they're going to say, all right, we're going to make it 3.5 at like +105 or something, +110 or whatever. And like I said, the public hasn't started to bet this thing yet. Like you've got JSN. He's got to throw it to someone after that. And Rashid Shaheed doesn't get open. Like he'll make a play here or there, but like they're going to have, like, he's going to have to contribute on the ground. He's going to have to punt return. He doesn't really get open as a wide receiver that much. So it's not like he might make a play or two, right? He's like a, you know, a Xavier Worthy, a Mecole Hardman. Like he's going to make a play or two, but, you know, and Xavier Worthy, you know, make more plays than him. But so then it's like, all right, who does he throw to? Barner's good. You know what I mean? He's also a young tight end and stuff, and he can't do that much damage for them. So really it comes down to Cooper Kupp. It really does. Like if you look at, to me, the keys to this offense are going to be, all right, can Kenneth Walker bust some big plays? Can JSN get open? And who will Darnold, who will step up? Who will be that other guy that Darnold can throw the football to when JSN isn't open? And my answer to everybody, Cooper Kupp over 2.5 receptions is my prop of the day for everybody on the podcast.
I agree with you 100%. Let's remember Cooper Kupp MVP when the Rams beat the Bengals, 8 catches, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. Let's take a look last couple of weeks, Marenzi. 4 catches for 36 and a touchdown and 5 versus San Francisco. 9 catches the last 2 games. Before that, 2-1. He's getting more involved. Asking JSN to get double-digit catches, that's a little bit rich. You talked about it. He will get open. They'll hit him on some hitches. They'll do some stuff, but that's going to be, yes, the Patriots have to slow him down or they're done. I agree with you with Cooper Kupp, 2.5 over, and I love that bet because I think he's going to be a big part of this thing, and he steps up in big games. And as you've seen recently with the Seahawks, 9 catches the last 2, Marenzi, they're getting him more involved because I think they know, you know, JSN's going to do his thing, but Cooper Kupp still has it.
We talked about Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker will be better out of the backfield catching passes. Helani could be catching a couple of passes out of the backfield, although I don't think he's going to be on the field very much. But this just sort of goes to the Seattle Seahawks aren't going to have a choice but to throw the football. Like, they're going to have to throw. You can't run on New England. All right? Like, you just – and listen, we're going to find out because Seattle run the football only 2 teams ran the ball more than the Seahawks did. The Seahawks are actually a 50-50 split, literally right down the middle. They run the ball 50% of the time, and they throw the ball 50% of the time. Only the Ravens and Bills ran the football more than Seattle did. But New England, they're essentially like a steel wall. Like, they really, like, do not give up any yards on the ground. Like, they're really, really hard to run the football on. A lot of teams just sort of give up and realize we can just sort of throw on them instead. They do have good secondary, but you can't stop everything. The quick hits work against the Patriots. Just sort of that quick hit type stuff. And that's what Sam Darnold's good at. Like, Sam Darnold is really good. Like, the type of coverage, like, I don't want to get it too into the weeds here, but the type of coverage and stuff that the Patriots run, Sam Darnold actually thrives in. So I'm curious to see. Vrabel's going to know this, right? Like, if I know this, and hell, I read this on SI.com or whatever, then Mike Vrabel knows this. So Mike Vrabel is going to say, all right, we're going to have to throw a different look here, right, that they're not expecting. And I tell you what, if there's one coach that's evil enough to do this, it's Mike Vrabel. Like, it's basically like Belichick and Vrabel and Urban Meyer all rolled into one him, right? Like, he was a Belichick player. He coached with Urban Meyer. Like, Vrabel knows all the tricks, man. And he was a great linebacker, like, as a player. So that's the thing. That's the one thing about this game that sort of concerns me from a Seattle perspective is it reminds me a little bit of the New England Patriot and the Ram game. The only difference is, like, it's different in the sense the Rams were 14-point favorites, all right? Right? It was like, oh, nobody's going to beat the Rams. But nobody's given the Patriots a chance in this game, like, at all. And they're going to notice this. Like, they're going to feed off of this. 11 on ESPN. All 11 NFL analysts on ESPN.com picked the Seattle Seahawks to win the game.
That's a disaster.
11, not That's, even one.
Dude, it's a 4.5-point spread. I know a couple people who I really respect are betting on New England that game, and I'm scared of New England, but that's nuts. You're telling me there's not even 2 or 3 people out of 11 that like New England? It's not like they're, you said it, they're not 14-point favorites. They're favored by 4.5, Gabe. That's crazy. I'm sorry. That's nuts.
Yeah, everyone. I was surprised that even Field Yates, what a name, Field Yates.
He sounds like a golfer.
Yeah, Field Yates.
Mr.
But
Field Yates on the first tee, yeah.
Even Field Yates, who's actually from Boston, from the area, he even picked the Seahawks.
Wow.
And I see here, so I'm reading this. This is Sporting News. It said, Seahawks fans get good news from 11 ESPN analysts. That's not good news.
No, it's horrible news.
Yeah, it's horrible news.
It's awful. No.
Everybody knows, like, anytime it's unanimous, like, and plus, these people are always wrong about everything.
I know.
Like, anytime you see Monday Night Football or anything, all these people with their picks, they're always wrong. They always just pick the home team or the favorite, right? It's almost like listening to a UFC fighter pick a fight, a win a fighter. Like, it's like, dude, you just got to pick your buddy. Oh, I trained with this guy. I trained hard. I know this guy. Like, it's the same thing. So, yeah, it's unbelievable. 11 of 11, for the record. Stefania Bell, who I don't know who she is. Matt Bowen. I know him. Dan Graziano. You got Dan Orlovsky, Eric Moody, Jason Reed, Aaron Schatz, Ben Solik, Lindy Theory, Sam Walder, Phil Yates, all predicted the Seahawks would beat the Patriots. 11-0.
That's disgusting. I'm not excited about that. It actually makes me very concerned. Very concerned.
A lot of them have the Patriots losing by double digits as well.
Wow. The Patriots are good, and people don't understand. Their defense is getting better all the time. You enter the playoffs. Look at the things they did to Stroud. I know it was snow, but they held Denver in check. I don't care if it's Stidham. Look at their defense. They've been fantastic. They're getting better and better and better all the time. Like, as the season progressed, they're really figuring it out. They got some real studs up there, and their front four is starting to, like, create havoc, man. I'm very scared about this game, Rance. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk at all.
I'm disappointed in Oz the Mentalist. His prediction fell short of the Rams beating the Broncos.
I got worried when you told me he's never wrong, this guy. Thank God the Seahawks won. They beat the Mentalist.
So, yeah, my suggestion is, as far as the props are concerned, start to get in on them if you like them. Sort of rack up a prop a day, because you won't have the bankroll to get all the props you're going to want in at one time, and or the numbers are going to change and all that. So from my experience, I've been to the Super Bowl over the years, you know, just sort of get a bunch of these props out of the way now, so it's already done by the time next weekend rolls up. One thing that I should note, though, that we'll wrap it up with is the total is dropping. If there's one thing, like, the point spread really hasn't moved. I mean, the point spread, it has been 4.5, it's been 4.5. But the total was 46.5, and it's down to 45.5 right now. So suddenly, you know, very manageable. You could buy the half point, get it to 45. We had Paul Bovey on. Paul bets big units, and Paul said that he's waiting. Paul's like a vulture in the desert, like waiting for the carcass.
He really is.
Paul said that he's waiting for a 44.5, which I told him, keep waiting.
Yeah, but, keep waiting. The vulture waits. You're not going to get that.
No, but yeah, Paul basically said, he said if he gets to 45, he'll buy a half point and make it 44.5. He wants 44.5. Hey, that was his number, he said. He goes, if it goes 44.5, I'll smash the over. And he goes, if it gets to 45, I'll probably buy the half point and make it 44.5. It's 45.5 now, so it's actually getting there. And, hell, I like the over 46.5. Everyone's going to hype themselves up with defense and stuff. Watch. It's going to be like 14-14 at the end of the first quarter of this game. It'll be like complete bizarro world. Love both quarterbacks passing yards over. Both teams won't really be able to run the ball much. And I think both teams are going to be able to throw the football. So we'll keep on accumulating the props as we go on. We'll wrap it up. We got a full slate of NHL, a lot of games in the NHL tonight. And Bet365 has offered me a $125 free roll.
Wow.
Only for the NHL. They sort of mix it up. Like yesterday, it was the Champions League. And I won. I ended up losing the other games, but I won the one that I put the $125 free roll on with Barcelona minus the 2.5. But yeah, so I got a $125 free roll on an NHL game, Cam. But I gotta pick one of them. It could be anything. I could pick like a period prop, player prop, like. So you got a full slate tonight. Canadians host the Avalanche. Avalanche coming off the loss last night to the Ottawa Senators. Man, the Avs have been struggling as of late.
Yep.
But I think they beat Montreal tonight.
So do I. And I'm going back to the Islanders, Gabe. I don't care. This Rangers thing, like, people, you're looking for a bounce back. I'll take the Islanders in back-to-back nights. Had them not last night, I'll take them again at home. Or, sorry, on the road. On the road, minus 135.
Rangers are terrible at home, but, that's a tough one. But Islanders got lit up by the Sabres and got right back on track. So, for me, you know what? Avalanche are minus 120. I'll have my eye on that game. Hey, listen, LA Kings and the Buffalo Sabres is a fun game.
What a game.
Tonight. the Sabres have been smoking hot, so it's really hard to get in front of them. So for me, it would be the Sabres. Sabres or pass. The Bruins have been a nice, you know, the Bruins have been good to me this year, actually. And it's funny because I don't really like the Bruins, as everyone knows. But now that Jack Edwards isn't doing the games, it's not as annoying.
You're so, right. I've enjoyed the broadcast a hell of a lot.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah. I watch the game now. I don't get less angry trouble, watching less the Bruins every, as much.
Oh, the Leafs suck and this and that. Yeah,
he was just such a homer, that guy. Oh, it's ridiculous. Obnoxious.
It was. Like, Joe Bowen's a homer, like, on the radio, but it's funny. But this guy, it's just, it was.
Yeah, he was a jerk homer. It wasn't a fun homer.
No, he was nauseating. Yeah, like, yeah, I agree.
Anaheim Ducks into Vancouver Canucks. Yeah.
How about the Ducks?
I got to kind of go with that would probably be the one if I had to say. I mean, hell, the Canucks have lost 12 home games in a row or whatever. No, I like five games.
I like five games tonight, all small favorites and one dog. I'm taking Colorado, the Islanders, small play. The Kings have been playing a little bit better, but I still like the Sabres, the Ducks, and my dog is the Nashville Predators against another team that's not playing well, the New Jersey Devils. I get plus 120 with Nashville. Those are my picks.
Oh, and you got the Toronto Leafs and the Kraken.
I think I'm going to pass on that game. The Leafs, I don't know, Gabe. Is getting out of town good? Like, the way things are going, like, do I have faith in them bouncing back? They've looked pretty bad. They are a dog, though. Very small one.
I lean Seattle. I forgot about that. The Leafs are in Vancouver, yeah, actually, on Saturday.
Yep.
Which normally I'd be excited and go, but whatever.
No, no thanks.
Well, the tickets will be kind of more expensive because the Leafs are playing, and man, the Canucks are just a train wreck. But no, I would go, actually. I'm going to go. I'm still going to go, even though the Canucks suck, because the tickets are cheap. So I'm going to wait after the post-Super Bowl when I get back. I'm going to go to the Canucks game. I'm going to go to a game or two against a bad team. Tickets will be really cheap and stuff, yeah, like that. And I'll go get like a new, you know, golf. I'll get some sort of merch or something on sale because no one wants to buy Canucks stuff, you know? It's like Christmas, yeah, for
you're like me, year. going to see cheap teams, cheaper price, cheaper merch. It's the way to go.
Yeah, you know what? I don't mind. Like, if, yeah, I know the Canucks are going to be good in 3-4 years, yeah, like as it is now, the Canucks are not the top pick of the draft, so... Now the debate begins. They're already arguing here whether it's the defenseman or whether they want the Gavin McKenna. Like I said, dude, the president of hockey operations of the Vancouver Canucks is Swedish, so they're going to take Frondell, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But Elias Pettersson could get traded, too. That's a lot of stuff going on in the hockey world. But you got the Olympic freeze coming up here right now, so... No one can get traded like after February 3rd or something. So it'll probably all happen after. That's why the Rangers shut down the Breadmen, right? Panarin's not going to play until now during the Olympics, whatever. They're going to try to trade him now during the break and post break, whatever. He'll be on another team. So a lot of stuff to get to in the sports world. We'll see you on the grid. And Rob Vino will step up and in tomorrow. We'll get in all the college basketball, including the game, the biggest game in the history of Michigan and Michigan State basketball. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. It is the highest ranked matchup combination between the two in their history, which is pretty crazy to me. The highest ranked matchup between the two of them was Michigan was once ranked fourth and Michigan State were ranked eighth, which combined for 12, right? Now, coming into tomorrow's game, Michigan are ranked third, and Michigan State are ranked seventh. So they're a combined 10. So this is like the highest rankings that they both had at the same time playing against each other. Michigan are 1.5-point road favorites. Number opened up at 1.5, and it's just been sitting right there stone cold at 1.5. Right now, but the market really hasn't seen it yet. It's sort of been at the bottom of the page and all that. Once tomorrow comes around and people realize, oh my God, Michigan are playing Michigan State on national television on Fox tonight, people are going to start betting it. It'll be interesting to see who they bet. I think they're going to take Michigan. And it should be noted that Michigan have not won in East Lansing since 2017. Just want to throw that out there as well. But we'll give you some more stats, trends, and facts about the rivalry in that game tomorrow. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.